Shall we pray? Dear Lord, open our hearts, our minds, our lives, and our imaginations to your word, to what it is you call us to hear today. Help me to speak your words. Help us to have ears to listen and be open to the challenges that are unpacked. Lord, I also pray for those that need to hear your comfort and your healing, that they will hear that. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I've said, this is the last in a series of talks entitled The Art of Welcome, and it's called A Safe Welcome. I wanted to end this talk, this series of talks, on this most important of aspects of being a welcoming church, a welcoming community, that is, being a safe community. Now, because of the time available, I'm only going to scratch the surface of this huge and important subject. I'm also well aware that a lot of you, because of your professions and what you do, have a huge understanding of this area. However, I recognise that for a lot of us here today, the areas that I'm going to talk about are not abstract, but real, and either have been or are a part of life. I'm going to talk frankly. I'm going to neither hype it up, nor am I going to sweep it under the carpet, but I am going to talk about areas of neglect and abuse. A lot of what I'm going to talk about today comes straight out of the Church of England's first stage of safeguarding training. And it's the training that every person at St. James that has some responsibility for young people, for our children and vulnerable adults, has already undertaken. And you may therefore ask, if the people that need the training have already had the training, why do we all need to know about it? And the answer is because it's important to all of us. We all need to know about it, and we all need to play our part. The more that know about it, the more that people know about safeguarding, the safer a community we will be. Also, because safeguarding is an issue that impacts upon all areas of life, and therefore it is good to be informed about all areas of our life, whether that is at home, at school, at work, or wherever. The church is called to share the good news of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. And the life of our community, how we do life as a community, is integral to how we address this task. We can't talk about good news if we are an unsafe place to be for those that have suffered abuse or are neglected and do not feel part of this family. The good news speaks of welcome to all and includes the most vulnerable and includes us and asks of us to value and have dignity for every human being and to affirm them. So just to give you an outline of what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk about the basics first. So I'm going to talk about what is child abuse, what is adult abuse. I'm going to not go into gory detail, but sometimes we don't recognize abuse or neglect for what it is, especially amongst vulnerable adults. I'm going to talk about our collective responsibility, and then I will just go through a list of do's and don'ts, practical do's and don'ts, when someone discloses to you the case of abuse or neglect. This is a very different talk from the usual talks that I would give, and if you're a visitor here today, can I apologize in part that you're here as we do something to look internally at what we do, something akin to sort of safeguarding housekeeping. But I also hope that you would appreciate that safeguarding is an area that needs to be discussed openly. Now, some of you may be thinking that this, though it is an important subject, isn't an appropriate subject for the sermon slot. Well, obviously, I disagree with you. But I hope by the end of the talk, I would have given you some food for thought on this subject. So just to give you a definition of safeguarding, it means protecting people's health, their well-being and their human rights, and enabling them to live free of harm, abuse and neglect. Safeguarding children, young people and vulnerable adults includes protecting their lives so they can live in safety, free from abuse and neglect. Protecting them from maltreatment or things that are bad for their health or development. It means people and organisations like this church and other organisations in the town, working together to prevent the risk of abuse or neglect and to stop such things from happening. And it means that making sure people's well-being is promoted, that we listen to their views, their wishes and feelings and take their beliefs into account. What is child abuse? Abuse and neglect are forms of maltreatment of a child. Someone may abuse or neglect a child by inflicting harm or by failing to prevent harm from happening. Children may be abused in a family or an institution or a community setting, but by those who know them or more rarely by a stranger. Because of their age, all children are considered vulnerable, and legally a child is somebody under the age of 18. Abusers may be anyone of any age, male or female, from any social class, culture or faith. They may be nice people. They could be professionals, teachers, social workers, vicars. They could be related to the child. They could be another child. They're often a person of power and trust. The general categories of child abuse are physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, and neglect. Although sometimes they exist alone, often there is more than one form of abuse occurring at the same time. What is adult abuse? An adult may be abused or neglected and harm inflicted upon them and the failing to prevent harm inflicting upon them. As with children, adults may be abused in a family or in an institutional setting or community setting by those that they know or those that are strangers to them. They may be abused by another adult or adults or by a child or children. Vulnerability in adulthood can be permanent. It can be caused by a physical or mental illness. But it can also be temporary. It can be caused by a particularly difficult situation or symptoms which will pass over time. It is therefore difficult and complex to recognise adults who may be vulnerable within our communities. The categories of vulnerable adult abuse are physical abuse, sexual abuse, psychological abuse, neglect, self-neglect, financial abuse, discriminatory abuse, organisational abuse, domestic violence, and hate crime. With all forms of abuse and neglect, there are indicators that may point to the mistreatment of a child or vulnerable adult. There are signs. These indicators may be physical, emotional, or both. And the types of indicators are different for the different types of abuse. Those at St. James that have done the full safeguarding training are aware of what to look out for. And this is in line with the training that others receive, other care professionals receive, those who are working with adults, vulnerable adults and children. There are two types of abuse that I've not listed in either of those two lists that I want to mention briefly. One, because it's pertinent to this setting of being in a church, and the other because it is something that is commonly on the concerns of parents. And when I go into the secondary schools in the area and even into the lower schools, it is something that is talked about by the pupils there themselves. So the first is spiritual abuse. And it's not a category of abuse recognised in statutory guidance, but it is a concern for us when we're in a church. There's a useful definition for spiritual abuse, and you may want to think about what then fits as spiritual abuse. It is the coercion and control of one individual by another in a spiritual context. The target experiences spiritual abuse as a deeply emotional personal attack. The other abuse that I want to talk about is online abuse. And this can happen through social networks, playing online games, or using our mobile phones. Children, young people, and vulnerable adults may experience cyberbullying, grooming, sexual abuse, sexual exploitation, or emotional abuse. People can be at risk online to online abuse from people they know, but also from strangers. Online abuse may be part of an abuse that is also taking place in the real world. It can be taking place online and in the playground by the same people. Or it may be the abuse that only happens online. People can feel like there is no escape from online abuse. Abusers can contact them at any time, day or night. The abuse can come into the safe places of their homes. We have a collective duty of care. It is not just down to those that are trained or those with positions of authority within the church. Any person who knows or suspects that a child or vulnerable adult is being harmed or has been harmed or is at risk of being harmed has a duty of care to refer this or to refer his or her concerns to our parish safeguarding representative, who is Claire Kent. So if Claire could just kind of give a wave. And she will help you deal with the matter following on from that. Some do's and don'ts when listening to somebody talk about something that they've gone through. When you are told about an incident, listen carefully and allow the person to tell their story. Do not rush them. Assure the person disclosing abuse that they will be taken seriously. Show this by attentive listening and by making eye contact. Make brief notes and record fully what you hear later. Stick to the facts. Reassure them that they are doing the right thing in sharing what has happened. Things not to do. And these things are actually quite hard to avoid doing. It is not your role to investigate or assess whether the abuse happened or not. You have a responsibility to pass on your concern to those that will investigate them. This is vitally important to remember. It is not your role, it is not my role to investigate or assess whether the abuse occurred or not. Do not promise confidentiality, even if asked. Let the person know that you will share it with people that have their safety at hand, and with only those people will you share it, such as Claire, and they will know what to do. Do not ask leading questions. Do not probe for details. Do not prompt somebody to try and establish who is at fault. You may actually weaken following legal proceedings. Do not make any judgments or express your own feelings. Try not to express shock or surprise. The Church of England's first stage of safeguarding training course, of which I have just skimmed the surface of, ends with a list of questions for individual churches like St. James to consider. So there's a list of about a dozen questions, and this is the first question that they ask churches to consider, which I just want us to look at as we draw to the end of this. How can your church become a church that meets with compassion those who have been hurt by abuse and is ready to travel patiently alongside them? This is a good question to ask, but there is one word in the question that I have difficulty with. I wonder if you can spot it. How can your church become a church that meets with compassion those who have been hurt by abuse and is ready to travel patiently alongside them? Them. What is the first step to meeting people who have been hurt by abuse or neglect with compassion? I think part of the answer is being honest with ourselves. Those people aren't out there. There is no them. We're in here. It is us. This church, like every church up and down the country, like every school, every office, every workplace, every care home, whatever, is full of people that have been or are being abused and neglected in some way or another. A friend of mine has an automatic email signature. So underneath her name, this automatic thing comes up every time. And it has these words: be kinder than is necessary, because everyone you meet is fighting some kind of battle. Be kinder than is necessary, because everyone you meet is fighting some kind of battle. Often that battle is one of abuse or neglect. And even if those things have long since stopped, the battle can still go on. Those people aren't out there. We're in here. You and I and the person next to you, we are in here. And you are welcome here. This place is for you. This God is for you. This Jesus Christ and all he did and all he said is for you. As I've said, next Wednesday is Valentine's Day, which is also Ash Wednesday and the start of Lent and the time that we prepare for Easter. And from Valentine's Day to Easter Sunday, this church is going to be saying one simple thing to ourselves and to the community around us. For the whole time, we are going to be saying, you are loved. And it's true, you are. You are loved by God, you are loved by Jesus. This is the truth of Easter, as well as the truth about you. You are loved. This Jesus Christ and all he did and all he said is for you. Can I convince you of that in a talk? No. But as a church, we can travel patiently alongside one another. And that is best done within a small group, such as our Connect groups, where we meet up regularly with others and travel together with others. And that can work, and it does. And I can attest to that in my own life. Over the years, over the decades, I have shared with a small group of Christian friends the battles I have faced due to the physical abuse I have experienced as a child. They have shown me the compassion of Christ. And in their situations, I've had the privilege of sharing with them the compassion of Christ. Such Christian friends support and encourage one another mutually. You are loved. This Jesus Christ and all he said and all he did is for you. Can I convince you of that in a talk? No. But the Holy Spirit desires to travel patiently alongside you and within you. A Holy Spirit full of compassion, full of gentle, transforming love, whispering into your life, you are loved. And that can work, and for many it does. And I can attest to the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Up until recently, if somebody asked me if I believed in the Holy Spirit and his transforming power, I would have given a way too complicated theological answer, and it would have been pretty rubbish, and it wouldn't have really worked. Now my answer will be about what the Holy Spirit has done in my life. I know there is transforming power in the Holy Spirit because I don't beat up my kids, unlike my dad who beat me, or his dad who beat him, or his dad who beat him. I don't share this because I want you to know my story. My story is no more important than your story or the person next to you. But God wants you to know that you are loved, and that all that his son Jesus Christ did and said, he did for you. And though my story, though the details may vary, is very similar to the story of so many here who have found the voice of the Holy Spirit gently whispering against abuse and neglect that you are loved, inspiring us with such love that has slowly, carefully, and at great cost transformed us. How can your church become a church that meets with compassion those who have been hurt by abuse and is ready to travel patiently alongside us? There is no them. There is us. There is you and me and the people sitting around you. And you are loved, and it is true. Amen.